Welcome, everybody. I'm Rabbi Joe. Sorry we're late.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Diane Van Wy. I'm here at Ari Yehuda Messianic Jewish Congregation, and I'm with Rabbi Joe and Rabbitson Don. And as you know, he's still recovering in Florida. But I wanted to let you know that if you stick with us today, there's a classic repeat from Elijah that Rabbi had great service last year on Shavuot. So stick around, and there's a great anointing on this message, as well as last week as we play archived messages, and the power of the Holy Spirit in Elijah's mantle leading up to Pentecost is the message. So here we go.
Thank you.
last week for him. It was about right here. Now his set was perfect last week.
We can live stream, but just. Why don't you all come up here and listen to us so you can hear the guitar and you can hear the bass. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Too much piano. Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shabbat Shabbat. There's no guitar. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Besimcha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Besimcha, Ora Besimcha. Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Besimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Okay. All right, we got the guitar. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. La sod et ha-shabbat le dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. La sod et ha-shabbat le dorotam barit olam. V'nei Yisrael B'nei Yisrael, Ohi Leolam Veshamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam. Ki Sheshet Yamim Asa Adonai, Shemayim V'Haaretz V'Shamru, V'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam. Yom HaShavit, Shabbat V'Nafash, Shabbat V'Nafash, Shabbat V'Nafash, V'Shamru, V'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace not more. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem.
Anthony, would you pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the Messianic community in America?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this Shabbat. Lord, we just ask your divine blessings and presence upon the land of Israel today. Lord, we ask that you turn back the terrorists that are constantly attacking your precious land, Lord, and attacking the Jewish nation, Lord. But you, Lord, we just pray that one day the Jewish nation, the Jewish people will, the blinders will come off, Lord, and they will see Yeshua as the Messiah that they've been long awaiting to see, Lord. We just pray also today, Lord, that you'll bless the Messianic communities in the United States. Bless the MJA conference that's going to be starting in a few weeks. Lord, we ask that you bless the people that come and those that have messages and songs of music and dance, Lord, that you will anoint those. And Lord, we just pray that today you'll bless each of those congregations, those rabbis today, Lord, that you will bless them and that they will have a great Shabbat today. And for the name of you, Lord, in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself,
For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
And do you want to give the prayer for the Omer this morning?
Okay, today is the sixth week of the Canaan of the Omer. Baruch atah Adonai Elohein, you melech ha'olam, asher kizyanu b'mitzvah tov, b'tzivanu al sefirot ha'omer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies with your commandments and commanded us concerning counting of the Omer. And today is the sixth week. And it's Hayom, Shanim, V'Arba'im, Yom, Shehem, Sheshah, Shavuot, La'omer. Today is the 42nd day in the counting of the Omer, which is 6 weeks and 42 days.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again with joyful sheaves of harvest. Don't you know the Lord? He longs to bring back the captive ones of Zion, the people of his promise. Don't you know the Lord? He wants to bring them out, a light to light the world, salvation to the nations. Lila, lila, lila. Go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again with joyful sheaves of harvest. Don't you know the Lord has done great things for us? We were like those who dream to fill our mouths.
For the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta Et Adonai Elohecha V'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה, אשר נוכי מצווך היום על לבביך, ושינתם לבניך, ודיברת בהם, בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשחבך, ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to call Anthony up to Terry will carry the Torah.
Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Leolam Vaed, Adonai Oz Liamo Yitain, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
There is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion
is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned.
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength to his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Shema Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzakenu, Adonai Yeshua Teinu. Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzakenu, Adonai Yeshua Teinu. Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Shema Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzakenu, Adonai Yeshua Teinu. Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzakenu, Adonai Yeshua Teinu. Kevod Malchuto, Malchuto, Leolam, Leolam Vaed. Baruch Shem, Kevod Malchuto, Malchuto, Leolam, Leolam Vaed.
Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu.
Vayehi ben Soharon, Vayemer Moshe. Kurna Adonai, v'yavutzu oivecha, v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, ki mitzion tetze Torah, ki mitzion tetze Torah, u'devar Adonai mi'Yerushalayim, baruch shenatan Torah Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bidushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Adonai Hamvora,
Baruch Adonai Amprolak Le'am Va'ed,
Baruch Adonai Amrachil Am Va'ed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, Na'atan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah, Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. Please be seated and watered.
Okay, today's the final Torah portion for the book of Leviticus, which is Biku Kotate, which is means my statutes, and it's from Leviticus 26 through 34. And today we see that with the Torah, God is telling the Israelites there are consequences to obedience and there's consequences to disobedience. So he's asking them, what will you choose, a blessing or a curse? You see, the Torah was not intended to be a salvation covenant, but it is can provide direction for eternal salvation and helps you maintain that eternal salvation. Eternal salvation solely comes through the grace of God, and that is through the sinless life, the death and resurrection, and the blood atonement of Yeshua. That's the salvation. It's not, you know, you could keep everything in the Torah if you could. Like the Pharisees, they felt they did not need a Messiah because they felt if they were righteous enough to follow the commandments in the Torah, the mitzvahs, then that would be more than enough to make them righteous and that they would live, because they lived on their works rather than on their faith in a Messiah. So that's the difference. In the Torah points you and guides you to the target, which is Yeshua. And it helps you, God is telling us through the Torah how he wants us to live our lives. And through that, your security is secured with Yeshua and the atonement. You see, the Apostle Paul was actually a Pharisee. The Pharisees I mentioned didn't believe that they needed the Messiah to gain perfection through the Torah. But if you read Paul's writings, especially to the Romans, When he wrote Romans, that was mostly to the Gentiles, and there was a growing spirit among the Romans with the Gentiles that were there of an anti-Semitic Semit that was taking over them, and also there was a lot of pride and arrogance as you read his words to them. What he was actually telling them was to prepare their hearts for what he was about to preach to them when he came. You see, Paul's ministry didn't change the Romans. They were still Romans when he went there, and they were Romans when he left. You see, that assembly eventually grew into what was what we would know now as the Roman Catholic Church. It became, that's what it came out of. That's why it's called Roman Catholic Church, is because that's where the Vatican's at, in Vatican City in Rome. It's a very beautiful place. It has a lot of history there from the early church that started. But you have to remember, the early church was Messianic, and it wasn't Catholic. So as King Constantine, yeah, it wasn't that way. As Emperor Constantine decided around the 300s that he was going to change it. They didn't like the Jewish people being in the congregation, and they didn't like worshiping on Shabbat, and they didn't like the moeds that they were having to attend every year. And the Shabbat was on Saturday, and the Roman way was to worship on Sunday. That's why it's called S-U-N, was because that was the sun god that they worshiped. That was the day of rest. But, you know, Paul, in his writings, you know, redemption is through Yeshua. Abraham's righteousness was a gift from God. It wasn't by his works, but is by his faith in God, in the fact that at some time God would send the true Messiah, the true sacrifice that would take away the sins, not of only one person, but of everybody. That's sins that were past, sins that were present in that day, and sins that are yet to be committed in the future that we live today. Those people that will come after us, his death and atonement covers the sins that they will commit. So it's untold how many sins that would account to. But Paul reminded us in his writings that we need to be continued in the Torah and accept the completed redemptive work of Yeshua. Romans chapter 3, verse 31 says, does it follow that we abolish the Torah and make it invalid through our faith? He says, God forbid. To the contrary, we must uphold the Torah. Faith opposes the Torah, and the faith we establish is in the Torah. In Jeremiah 31, it says, the Torah will be written upon your heart, and the words will be upon your lips. And when that day happens, we won't have anybody. You won't need anybody to tell you anything about God's word, because you'll have it in your body and on your lips. And it says, in that day, we will be the people of God. And so that is where I'm going to conclude the Torah today. It's not a very long one, but Shabbat Shalom. Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei B'nei Israel Al-Piyadonai B'yah Moshe. This is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel, commanded the Lord through Moses' hands.
Got to handle a Torah like your wife, very carefully, very gently.
Very cautious.
That's how you handle a Torah, Sharon. You got to balance it. It's got two sides to it. You got to balance. You got to make sure you don't drop one side. It's very difficult. It's not an easy task.
Behold the Tevotecha Shalom.
To those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everyone. I hope that you enjoyed our liturgy of archived message and service. And I just wanted to bring you the announcements today. And thank you all for watching, all of our viewers out there. And you, in case you just joined us, you're watching Ari Yehuda Messianic Jewish Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. My name is Diane Van Wy. I'm with Rabbi Joe Bell and Rabbitson Dawn Bell. And as you know, Rabbi is recovering from chemotherapy in a hospital in Florida. And if you are following him on Facebook, you'll get updates all the time from him. And if you're not, I can bring those to you now. Rabbi wanted to let you know that our ministry is still here, and he is working on another newsletter, so stay tuned for that. And if you're not familiar with our newsletters, you can go to our website at forzionsake.org. ministries.org, and it's the For Zion letter, and you can look at the past newsletters that he's done. He's written those for many years. Rain, sleet, or snow, any ailment whatsoever, our rabbi is true to getting the word out to the people, and I really, really love him for that. No matter what, whatever storm he's weathering, we do pray and lift up his arms, the whole family, as he has a word from the Lord all the time to bring it, and it's just such in a wonderful way. I really like his style of writing. And the one that the last one is April, the April-May 2020 issue, titled Prospering in a Time of Famine. And how appropriate is that right now? He wanted me to just read a little bit in regards to Genesis 26, 1 through 4. I will back up just a little bit. I don't think Rabbi will mind. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands. I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all the lands by your descendants. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Genesis 26, 1 through 4, 12 through 13. Through much prayer recently, the Lord reminded me of this passage for a few reasons, I believe. To begin, I am confident we must not have a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and discipline. 2 Timothy 1, 7. As we go through the COVID-19 plague, these last weeks and months ahead, this may not be an easy task for someone who lives paycheck to paycheck, or lost their job, or who is a high-risk person. And I just wanted to share with you, on a personal note, I lost my job due to the COVID. My business that I worked for, the company I worked for, had to downsize because of it. So I feel this, and I encourage you to take it one day at a time, but with only the Lord. And that's what I'm doing. It is hard, it's upsetting, But God is prospering me through this time, my family. And it's unbelievable to actually be living through that. So I just wanted to encourage you and share with you. I'll be praying for all those who are watching. And just know that this ministry is always constantly praying for the donors. And we thank you, donors, as well as our members, of course, our family, our congregational family, and your families. And all the prayer needs that come in via phone or email, we do lift those up and pray for you. And we want to continue praying for Rabbi. I don't want to get off here, but I encourage you the newsletter. And another one's coming. I don't have the title of that one, but it is in the works. So please visit our website or call our office, and we'll certainly get one mailed to you. Join our newsletter by giving us your email or your contact information or your mailing address, and we'll get those mailed to you every time one comes out. And that it's just a wonderful words of encouragement that it's from our rabbi. And it's actually from the Lord through our rabbi. And I just love that. Thank you. And let's see what else we have. And Rabbi has also just pray for his immune system to come back up. He has spent 8 days in the hospital. Rabbi has his whole family with him in the hospital in Florida. So as a reminder, he is the first person to have undergone this treatment in the world for this type of cancer, which is hairy cell leukemia, in case you don't know. And we're going to receive our tithes and offerings right now at this time. And if Carol will prepare a song for us to just take some time. And if you'd like to give online, you can do so on our website and go to our www.forzionsakeministries.org and go to the top left little menu lines and you can click on donate there. Please do also leave your name and your address so we can receipt you if you want a receipt. We can certainly do that. And we thank you for supporting our ministry. And I wanted also to let you know that when you do give online, you also are supporting our rabbi during this time and his family with the high cost of cancer treatment and travel and hotel stay with their children. And he thanks you for that. He will have to go back to Florida twice a month for follow-up for treatments. So we praise God that we received a $20,000 matching gift challenge. Everything that you give until June 20th of this year will be matched dollar for dollar up to $20,000. I wanted to encourage you to give, and this is a wonderful whoever did that, we thank you for that. It's just awesome. Now, I'm going to pray over the offering right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these tithes and offerings and donations, Lord. And we ask you that you bless the giver, bless the gifts 100-fold. You will be blessed whether it will be physical or financial. You know their needs, Lord. Adonai, touch your people and bless them as they give in Yeshua's name.
I will praise the Lord.
Also, if you don't have our address, if Carol could put that online. Actually, I have it right here. I can just tell you. It's P.O. Box 1486, Bristol, Tennessee. Zip code is 37620. And our website is www.forzionsake.org. That's www.forzionsake.org. Now, Rabbi is going to bring his message. So stay tuned for an anointed message from our rabbi, Rabbi Joe, on Elijah. And I'm sorry, I cannot read that note. What is that, Carol? Elijah and Trading Paradise. Okay, sorry about that. My printer kind of messed up the word there. Forgive me. So it's Elijah and Trading Paradise. And again, I am Diane Van Wy. I'm with For Zion's Sake Ministries. Enjoy the word. God bless you.
How long to sing this song? He set my feet upon a rock, made my footsteps firm. Many will see and hear. I will sing a new song. 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 How long song? How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? Waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing a new song. 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 How long to sing this song? How long?
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise
as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Strength will rise
as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait
upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Our God,
you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow weary. You are the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like
piano down.
Great and wonderful. wondrous deeds, O Lord.
Great, wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou art, though not holy, thou art Lord. All the nations come and worship thee, for thy glory shall be revealed. Alleluia, 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 amen. La 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 la. Great and wonderful are thy wondrous deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages art thou. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou alone art holy, thou alone. All the nations shall come and worship thee, for thy glory shall be revealed. Alleluia, 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 amen. La 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 la.
Be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
And all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
The trees of the field will clap their hands.
The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy.
Shall go out with joy and be led forth.
Mountains and the hills will break forth before you.
There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field
will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
The trees of the field will clap their hands.
The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy. Kiva simcha tetzehu, uva shalom tuvahu. Simcha tetzehu, tetzehu, uva shalom tuvahu. Shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the field will clap their hands.
The trees of the field will clap their hands.
The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands.
The trees of the field will clap their hands.
The trees of the field will clap their hands.
While you go
out with joy.
God will make a way.
in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. Love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I Heaven and earth will fade,
but his word will still
remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side.
With love and strength for each new day,
he will make a way. He will make a way.
Always does. He always makes a way. Okay, well, we're going to go to the Lord's table. If you're watching with us today at home, if you have some fruit of the vine or some crackers or matzah, if you'd like to join us, this would be a good time to get it as we're going to prepare to go to the Lord's table. So please feel free to join us if you're at home, okay? Carolyn, oh, I saw your leg and your cane. I'm not going to call you today. Sharon, would you like to serve today? Okay. And Deborah, would you like to come and serve? It's great to see Terry and Anna. Let's give it up for Terry and Anna coming all the way from Culpeper, Virginia. Woo! Culpeper. What's the Culpeper team?
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
I feel like the prodigal son.
Why is that?
Because it's been so long. When you miss one Shabbat.
Amen.
One Shabbat.
Amen.
Feel like why?
Well, we're glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
So you didn't tell me what is the Culpeper team? The butterflies? There's a butterfly in front of you. I thought it was the Culpeper butterflies, but never heard of a football team. Well, you never know. Hockey team called the Ducks. You know, anything could happen. All right, let's bless this stuff and move on. All right? Before I'll tell you my pirate joke, and you don't want to hear that. Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, for a pre-hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarani, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua, our Jesus, he took the third cup of the Passover meal. That's the Jewish Passover, found in Exodus 12 and Luke 22 and Matthew 26. He took the third cup, a cup taken after the meal, and he blessed it, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." He also took the middle piece of three layers of bread called afikomen in Greek, or afikomen in English, and it means that which comes later. He took that middle layer of bread of the three pieces which are in here. He took that and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. It's also taken after the meal together with the third cup of wine, the cup of redemption. We're taking grape juice because I performed the miracle of turning the wine to grape juice today. You've heard that miracle, right? That was the miracle of Bristol, Tennessee. Not Cana of Galilee, but Bristol, Tennessee. Anyway, so we turn the wine to grape juice. But it's not about whether it's wine or grape juice. It's about what it represents. This represents the blood of Yeshua. This represents his body. He was crucified on Passover. He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Leviticus chapter 23. He rose, which is a seven-day holiday, 7 days of unleavened bread. He rose from the dead on the third day during unleavened bread, and he conquered the power of sin and death for you and me. And the most important thing is that you believe that he is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead, and that you have a personal relationship. Nothing else matters in life. Everything else is just fluff. Your loved ones will pass away. Your friends will pass away. Your hobbies will pass away. Even your work. I've seen three people retire in the last 2 months. Your work will pass away. The only thing that will last is the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that endures forever. Even the world is going to pass away, Yeshua said. The world is going to pass away. This world. But he did say the Word of God lasts forever. And he is the Word. Yeshua is the Word. He said, he is the Word. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him gave he the right to become the children of God." Do you know the Word today? Is the Word in you? Do you know Yeshua? Yeshua, let's all say that. Yeshua is the Word.
Yeshua is the Word.
He's the Word. Amen. If you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. You can meet Yeshua. He wants to meet you. Yeshua wants to meet you today. Amen. Just raise your hand and say, pray, lift up your hand. Dear God, I've messed up. I've broken your laws every single day. I have transgressed against you. Lord, forgive me. And come into my heart, Lord. Wash me of my sins. Wash me of my mistakes, Lord. Hallelujah. Forgive my transgressions, God. Wash us, Lord, and cleanse us. Amen. And write my name in your book of life, Lord, forever, forever and ever. Write my name in your book of life that I may begin to have a relationship with you, the living God, through your Son, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. In his name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time and you're watching and you didn't know Yeshua today, please contact me, email me, call me. Many ways you can contact us on the website. Just contact us. I have a free gift for you. So we love you, and God bless you. And I'm going to turn this over to the ladies. And hallelujah. And they'll serve you. So you come as you're ready. And I'll tell you my pirate joke later, okay?
I am eternally grateful to Jesus for all he has done for me. He has given me life and salvation, given me liberty.
This live mic is hot. It's wired. It's going to explode in a second. Bass. Somebody touch the bass. Touch the bass. Just touch. It ain't rocket science. Ladies. L'chaim to life in Yeshua.
Let's all say this. Everything feeds back. People, instruments, amplifiers, feedback. Everything feeds back. Amen? The whole wide world feeds back. My kitty cat feeds back. I woke up this morning and my kitty cat was like, meow, meow, meow. I'm like, what do you want? He's like, meow. I'm like, I already gave you treats. I'm not giving you more treats. He's giving me feedback. See? He wants more treats. I said, sorry, dude, no more treats for you. See what I'm saying? Everything feeds back. So pat yourself on the back and say, pat your neighbor on the back and say, everything feeds back. Including my cat. Everything feeds back, Dawn. And everybody gives you feedback. That's a sermon for another day. Can I get somebody to help move this chair, please? You want to hear my pirate joke? Raise your hand. Because I had one no. Okay, I got three yeses. Sorry, Bill, you've been outnumbered. You've been outnumbered by the ladies. All right, it's time for my pirate joke. I just heard it about 10 times this week. He's like, no, save me from the pirate joke. Please save me. All right, I'm going to tell you my pirate joke. Hello, everyone on Facebook. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation for Zion's Sake Ministries. And I'm going to tell you my pirate joke, okay? We're going to begin the sermon. Today's sermon is Trading Paradise. Pirate joke is a good way to start about talking about paradise because pirates are always down in tropical places, amen? So they seem to know where to go to have fun. Anyway, so today's message is about Elijah. But before I do, I'm going to tell you my pirate joke. And God's given me a lot of revelation about Elijah. We've talked about Elijah's cup. I'm talking to you on Facebook today because we've had trouble live streaming. So I'm on Facebook on our ministry page today. So stay with us. I've got a good message for you from the Lord. I really believe it's going to challenge you today, this message. I'm going to tell you the pirate joke. So this pirate walks into a place where to get a drink, okay? And the bartender says, I haven't seen you in a while. How have you been? And the pirate says, oh, I've been good. I've been fine. I'm fine. And the bartender looks at him. He says, well, you don't look too fine. I mean, you didn't have that peg leg the last time you walked in here. And he says, well, I got into a little bit of a scrap with a sword and lost my leg, but I'm fine. I'm doing great with this peg leg. Then he says to him, well, what about that hook on your hand? How'd you get that hook? He says, well, got into another scrap out there on the open seas and lost my hand, but it's okay. I'm doing fine. This hook, is helping me out. I'm getting the hang of it. He says, what about that eye patch you're wearing? And the bartender says to the pirate, and the pirate says, well, you see, I was looking up, and a seagull happened to be going to the bathroom at the moment I looked up, and I had just gotten the hook. The hook was new. All right. Okay, let's get on with the message. I thought that was funny. I don't know. That cracked me up when I first heard it. Carol likes it. Carolyn. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to talk about Elijah. Turn to 1 Kings 18. Let's pray. You better pray for me. Because if you think that was a bad joke, you should hear what they're talking about at Rotary these days. Whoo! My gosh, that was... Anyway, okay, so all right. Today's message about Elijah, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.
We thank you, Lord, for the message today. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your grace. Your grace is sufficient for us. We thank you, Lord, for Dawn, and we pray for safe travel for her, Lord, as she goes back to work today. Lord, she has to go back to fly, and that you would be with her and give your angels charge over her as she flies and goes back this week. Lord, bring her home to us. Thank you that when she comes home, she'll be home for a while. And we pray for her Aunt Alice today. We just pray for her, for mercy for Alice, who was on a ventilator and had pneumonia, and she's got serious cancer. And we just pray, Lord, today they were taking the ventilator out and by her wishes, and that she's able to breathe on her own. We pray that she's able to breathe on her own, and that we pray for her healing, Lord. We pray for a miracle for Alice. And we just pray for all the needs, those who need healing in this congregation. Lord, you know who they are. Aja, Carolyn, myself, anyone else need healing, just raise your hand if you need healing. Praise the Lord. William, we pray. David, we pray for his healing from the diabetes. Lord, thank you, Lord. We pray for those who need healing in their hearts. Lord, we pray for all those who need healing in their hearts today. In Yeshua's name. Okay, Elijah was a prophet. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Amen? Elijah was a prophet. And we're talking about Elijah. Now, I'll tell you a little bit. Elijah was a prophet. He was the Tishbite. We used to sing a song about Elijah at Passover. And if you haven't seen my messages, I've done two messages, one on Elijah's cup and one on Elijah's mantle. So if you go back in the archives, either at our website, which is on the page, you'll find our website, and then you click into the video, there's three lines, and you click on it, gives you a menu when you see the three lines, and that'll give you an archive. When you go to the archive, you should see a message called Elijah's Cup and a message called Elijah's Mantle. I recommend you go back and experience those. You can skip through the service. You don't have to sit through the whole service to get it. But anyway, so Elijah was a prophet. And in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, Elijah predicted drought. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before I stand, surely there shall neither be dew nor rain these years except by my word.' The word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning." I wonder how those ravens baked bread. I never figured that one out. "And meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And it happened while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" This is amazing. First of all, a couple things going on here. Ravens are unclean animals in the Torah. Ravens are unclean animals. And here is God of Israel in the Old Testament using a raven to feed his prophet. So which raises the issue, what's more important to God, life or cleanliness? What's more important to God, life or cleanliness? Life. Life is more important to God than cleanliness. The law of life trumps the law of cleanliness. Isn't that amazing? Cleanliness is a law. It was a statute in Israel, but the law of life trumped it. So God was willing to use ravens to provide meat and bread for his prophet. But when the brook dried up, everybody say, when the brook dried up. When the brook dried up, the prophet knew it was time to move on. Why did he know? He had no water. the water, the brook was his drink. Remember, the ravens brought him bread and meat, but the brook was where he got his water. When the brook dried up, he had no water. I knew a couple, and one time they kept saying they were called to come be with us. They were called to come be with us, and they kept talking about it, and we affirmed it. We said, you know, we really believe the Lord's calling you to come and be on the worship team and be part of the congregation. And they live far, far away, lived 1,000 miles away. And they had a big pond in their backyard. Right behind their backyard was a big pond. Guess what happened to the pond? It dried up. The pond dried up. How do you like that? A hole opened up in the bottom of the pond, and all the water in the pond, huge pond, boats would go in this pond. All the water in the pond just drained like you pull the plug on your sink. Amen? And there was this big empty pit, giant pit, big circle, you know, with no water in it. And I told him, I said, "This, read this about Elijah. God's trying to tell you something. When your pond dries up, it's time to move on. It's a message from the Lord. When your car breaks down, your car either breaks down for two reasons, just like Balaam's donkey. Your car breaks down for two reasons. Either one, you can't physically get it to the shop. You're sick. You can't physically get it to where it needs to get it repaired. You don't have help to get it there. That's number one. Now, but the main reason people's cars break down is because they're going the wrong direction with God. I've witnessed this. And when Balaam's donkey sat down, the angel of the Lord was right in his path. And Balaam, because he was so spiritually out of tune with God at that moment, he couldn't see the angel of the Lord with a sword. And the sword was going to kill the donkey and Balaam. And the donkey said, "I'm not dying today." So he bowed down before the Lord and he sat down. Balaam couldn't see the Lord. And finally, the Lord opened his eyes and Balaam saw the Lord. And Balaam struck the donkey. He beat him with a stick. Beat the donkey. And the donkey started talking. And the donkey says, "Haven't I been your donkey for all these years? I've been a good donkey for you. I've done all that you've asked me to do. I've been a faithful donkey, right? And now you're beating me with a stick. Why are you beating me? You think I'd stop? Now give me the benefit of the doubt. You think I'd stop here for no reason?" And then God opened his eyes and he saw the Lord standing, the angel of the Lord with a sword, and he was going to kill the prophet. The donkey was saving his life. Listen to this. The donkey was saving his master's life from the Lord, and the master didn't see it, and he was beating the donkey. How many of you have experienced that, where somebody was trying to save your life and help you, and then the person that you're trying to help either stabs you in the back with a knife or beats you? How many times have you ever experienced that in your life, where you're trying to help somebody and they end up, what they give you in return is a knife in the back, or they beat you? Either not necessarily physically, but emotionally. Amen? Isn't that depressing? That's one of the worst things in life, you know, when you're trying to help and fix a situation and somebody turns it on you, you know, and you're just trying to do the right thing. So Elijah was a prophet. He was a Gileadite. We used to sing a song, Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu HaGiladi. That means that's a Passover song we sing every year growing up in my Jewish household. Elijah the prophet, Elijah the Tishbite, Elijah the Gileadite. That's what it was saying. Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu HaGiladi, the Gileadite. And it has more words to it, which I won't get into. But so we're going to come back to Elijah. But you see here, Elijah's a prophet, and he predicted drought. And by his word, there was drought for 3 years, I think it was. Three years. And the king wasn't happy with Elijah, let me tell you. Can you imagine destroying the economy of the whole country of Israel because of, you know, you're doing it because God commands you, and the people aren't happy with you because there's no food, you know. There's very little food. The people are starving. There's very little water. People are what do you call it? Dying of dehydration, and you know, God's allowing. He's not only allowing it; He gave the command. Why? Because the people weren't following God. The people weren't following God. So Elijah predicted drought, and then but God provided. Didn't you notice here? God provided for Elijah. And this is so beautiful. And God said to him when the brook dried up, in verse 9, it says, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. Zarephath is in Lebanon. That's up north of Israel. That's not Israel. He went to a Gentile. Here's another weird Elijah, what do you call it? One of these mysteries of Elijah, where he goes to the house of a Gentile. Again, that was forbidden for Jews to go to the house of a Gentile in the Old Testament. And not only that, to eat in the house of a Gentile. And it was even questionable, really, probably, to be in the house of with a woman and her child. You know, he probably shouldn't have been. But God sent him to her. You know, why? Because what was God doing? Preserving life. Amen? Whose life was he preserving here? Let's read on. So he rose in verse 10. He went to Zarephath, out north of Israel in Lebanon. He went and he came to the gate of the city. Behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And she was going to get it. He called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "Is the Lord your God?" No, whose God? Your God. Is the Lord whose God? Your God, not my God, as the Lord your God, she says, lives, not her God, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar, and behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Wow, she was preparing her last meal, so she thought. She didn't know who was coming for lunch. Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according. Listen, she obeyed. She obeyed. She didn't know God. She didn't know this man, this strange man, but she obeyed him. And she must have said, you know, did she sense he was a prophet? Did she sense he was a holy man? I guess, I would think she did. And, you know, the way he talked to her, "Do not fear," he said, you know. And he talks about God, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted," so he's, you know, or "until the rain comes on the earth." So he's talking about God. And so she went and did according to the word of Elijah. She and her household ate for many days. Thank you, sir. And they ate for many days. Praise the Lord. I lost track there. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did... Okay, so she went and did according to the word of Elijah. She and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. How awesome is that? Now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So he said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you?" She said this, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You come to me to bring me my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death." You see, he was so holy and so holy that she was convicted of her sin. And then her son died and she thought she was being cursed, when really, this is kind of like beating Balaam's donkey. She thought this guy was cursing her. Instead, he was saving her life. in that while, she thought he was cursing her. She's, you know, but he multiplied the food. She thought she was going to die, but they lived many days, right? Everybody say many days. Many days. And then she thought, well, now this is the way he really cursed me. Now my son's sick, and my son's going to die, and you bring my iniquity, my sin to remembrance. In other words, you make me see my sin because you're so holy. It's like she's looking in a holy mirror, and she sees, compared to him, that she's a sinner. Amen? She's looking at his life, and she's saying, man, this guy's holy, and I'm not. And she sees her sin. Okay? He convicts her of sin. We should be so holy. Our lives should be so holy that people should see the Lord in us and repent. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. So she said to Elijah in verse 18, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my iniquity remembrance and to put my son to death? He said to her, give me your bosom. Not your bosom. Give me your son. Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his bed. He called to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought calamity to the widow in whom I am staying by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, look, listen to this. Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Now I know that you are a man of God. Isn't that awesome? He performed miracles and invoking God, but he did so much for her, saved her child's life, saved her life, and she saved his life because she provided him with shelter and food. Amen? She cooked for him. It was a trade-off. He provided the bread and the oil through God's miracle of multiplication. She cooked it. She fed the man of God, and he did his job. He did his job, which was to prophesy. He prophesied to her, and that was his job, was to prophesy. Okay, but God took care of him. He met his need. Now, did he do it fancy? Did God send him to the Ritz? Did God send him to the Plaza or the Waldorf? No, God sent the prophet to the house of a lowly woman in Zarephath. Amen? God doesn't always send us to the Ritz. God doesn't always send even his most coveted prophets and priests and great men of God. He doesn't always send them. I remember Paul Wilbur was telling about how he went to Brazil, and he had to stay in this place that had no air conditioner, and there were bugs crawling all over him in the night, and it was horrible. But he stayed down there, and the concerts and the ministry was powerful. He said, I remember him telling us the story about Brazil, and he loved to go to Brazil. I think he found a better place to stay the next time, but that first time there were insects in the place. It was dirty, and there was no air conditioning. It was hot. And that's what, you know, sometimes God requires you, he requires us to suffer. Oh my God, I said it. Sometimes God requires us to suffer a little bit. Amen? Okay. All right, so we've established that Elijah's a prophet. And so I want to tell you a little story, and then I'll go back to Elijah. So about 22 years ago, give or take, 23 years ago, Don and I, we were asked to lead a Jewish gospel music group on a world tour. We were asked to lead a Jewish gospel music group on a world tour. And we trained for 3 months so that we could learn those songs like we just did. Great and Wonderful was one of those songs. We did two of them today. Eternally Grateful, that was another song we did. Now, we're not as good at them as we used to be because we used to do them, we worked 16 hours a day. We'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we wouldn't get to bed sometimes till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd get up and do it all over again for 3 months. And we rehearsed sometimes for 4 or 5 hours at a time. We'd take lunch breaks, dinner breaks, but then we'd rehearse. We'd go home at night, and we'd have to practice what we learned during the day. Okay, and 3 months of that every day, and we learned just to learn 10 or 12 songs. We were professional. We learned skits. We learned how to speak. We learned how to give testimony. Okay, we had to write down our testimonies. Then we had to give them to these people who knew were professional, and let them hear our testimony, and they would tweak it, and they helped us to speak. Some of us didn't know how to speak publicly. And they trained us how to speak. And they trained us how to smile. And I don't do it. I don't smile as much. But back then, when I was out ministering, we had to have a smile on our face. Okay? And, but that's the way it was. You're ministering in churches. We ministered to hundreds of thousands of people. I remember just one day. We ministered 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. I remember one day we were in London, England, and we ministered to 10,000 Nigerians. 10,000 in one morning service. That night we were at R.T. Kendall's church, Westminster Chapel. For those of you who remember R.T. Kendall, was a fairly famous. He was in the same circles as Ron Phillips and Peter, I can't think of that prophet guy's name, Peter and John Arnott, and R.T. Kendall is in that crowd. And he pastored this church around the corner from Buckingham Palace, around the corner from where, what's that other, that chapel where they get married, where the queen, the Princess Diana? Westminster. Yeah, Westminster Abbey. Well, he pastored Westminster Chapel, and it wasn't connected to the monarchy. It just happened to be in the neighborhood. It was a beautiful church, and God brought him there 40 years ago, and he was there for a good 30, 35 years or so, maybe 30 years, and then he came back. But anyway, so we got to do some pretty cool stuff, and when we weren't speaking and singing in churches, when we weren't singing and speaking in churches, we were often out in the streets of London or the streets of Liverpool or the streets of Manchester or the streets of, Sydney or Melbourne or Perth, or we were in the streets of, we were at the University of South Africa, the university in what's that town? Not Cape Town, but what's the main city in South Africa? Johannesburg, yeah. There's a university in Johannesburg. So we didn't go out in the streets of Johannesburg. It's dangerous. You can't, they tell you, don't stop at the traffic lights or the stop signs because they'll hijack your car. So they do what's called a California stop at the lights. They roll through because you can get hijacked. And that's what they told us. So we never stopped at lights giving people a chance to hijack us. We just roll through them carefully. It's lawless, very lawless down there, very dangerous. But we went to the university where it was fairly safe, and we preached the gospel to the students, and we went to churches, okay? Went to all over the world. So anyway, we end up our tour, our 21-month tour of traveling around the world and ministering to hundreds of thousands of people. We led thousands of people to the Lord, to Yeshua. We led thousands of people to Yeshua. As a team, there were six of us. I don't know how many I led. Maybe I led hundreds. I don't know. Many, many people. But the team, we led thousands of people to the Lord, okay? And we spread millions of seeds of the gospel, millions of gospel seeds, whether tracts, whether street preaching, witnessing, talking to people, preaching at night, preaching in churches. We spread millions of gospel seeds as we traveled around the world. And we ended up in Hawaii. We started our tour And in 1998, in the spring, we started in Phoenix, Arizona. We left San Francisco in the winter of 1998. And was it 97? No, it was 98. In the winter, January 98, we left San Francisco, and we started in Phoenix. We drove down to Phoenix, Arizona. And we went three times around the United States in a bus. Then we went across Canada in a bus and even took the bus to Victoria, Canada, Victoria, Alberta. We had to take a ferry, and we could see the killer whales, the orcas, as we were sailing across to Victoria with our bus. So it was amazing. If you've never seen a school of orcas swim right by your boat, it's the killer whales. It was beautiful. It was one of those beautiful things I've ever seen. So anyway, we end up in Hawaii. Our tour, traveling around the world. See, we traveled around the U.S. for 18 months. Then we signed on, and next they said, "Will you sign on 3 more months and go around the world?" And we said, "Oh, gee, that's a tough one. Twist my arm." Okay, so we went around the world in 3 months. Around the world. They literally bought a global ticket. And around the world ticket works like this. Back then, you paid $5,000. And for $5,000 back in the 90s, you got a ticket, and you could go anywhere in the world as long as you move forward. So you could go through every state in the United States. If you started in California, you could go to Nevada, you could go to Kansas, you could go to Denver, you could go to Kansas, you could go to Missouri, you could go to Memphis. As long as you move forward, you could just keep flying, and you could take as many flights as you want with a global ticket. So we went from San Francisco, we went to England. We started our tour in England for 3 weeks. We went all around England, and then we went to South Africa, continued our tour in Zimbabwe. We went to South Africa. We went to Johannesburg, Durban. We went to the capital, Pretoria. We went to Pietermaritzburg in South Africa. We ministered to thousands of people. You know, when you travel the world, you find out some really interesting things. There's a city of Indian people in South Africa. Did you know that? There's a city on the way to Durban, on the way from Johannesburg. There's a town. It's probably got 150,000 people in it. And they're all Indian. They're from India. They were brought in as slaves by the South Africans. They were brought in as slaves, as workers, and they stayed there, and they built this city. It's become like a shanty town, you know. But there was a church. They had a church, and we ministered for their church. There's probably 500 people there that night, and they cooked for us Indian food. It's the most bizarre thing. You're in South Africa, and you feel like you're in India. That's the way the world is. You never know what you're going to find out there. Okay? But that's not the point of my message. So we ended up in Hawaii. And so we finished our tour in Hawaii, and Don and I called our boss, and we knew our last trip was from Hawaii back to San Francisco. So we decided, we had only been married a year or so, maybe a year and a half, I don't know. So we wanted to take a little vacation. It was the end of our tour. We ministered 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. I was the team leader for most of the trip. Don was the music director. We worked very, very hard, very hard. We were very tired. We knew we were called here. We had received our calling to come to this area already earlier that year. We'd received our calling. Don had received the calling. God confirmed it through me. We knew we were called here. But the day we went in Hawaii, we rented a place in Maui. After our tour in Honolulu was done, we went to Maui for 2 weeks of vacation. And the first day we met this couple, and they managed storage facilities, indoor climate control storage facilities. You know what the advantage of renting storage facility is versus renting an apartment? Storage facilities don't break toilets. Storage facilities don't have plumbing problems with their sinks. Storage facilities don't have electrical wiring problems. They're just garages where people stick their stuff, and you just hope that they're not putting, their cockroach collection in there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you pray that they're not putting something, or their ant collection, you know, their ant farm. And you don't know what they're putting in there, but you all you're doing is renting garages. And so this guy offered Don and I a job for $40,000 a year, and he offered us a two-bedroom condo and a car and all expenses paid, all utilities, all expenses paid, and gas and a $500 a month food allowance to stay in Maui, to live in Maui. And they offered to pay to move all our stuff from the mainland, from here. They would pay to move it to Maui. And you know, I liked Maui. I thought, wow, well, gee, Lord, I was kind of like Balaam. You know, I was like, oh, gee, we've worked real hard, Lord. We've traveled the world. We've traveled the world for 2 years, and we've preached the gospel all over the world. And, you know, I know we're called to Tennessee, but you know, maybe we could just hang out here for a year or two, and then we'll go to Tennessee. So I was praying that kind of prayer. You know, I was bargaining with the Lord as I'm walking up and down the beach for almost 2 weeks. I'm bargaining with the Lord and praying. And Dawn really didn't want to stay. Well, she didn't want to stay in Maui. Now, she loved the fruit. She loved papaya. She loves papaya. And they had fresh mangoes, and they had pineapple, and they had coconut. And every morning we would eat, you know, she'd make these wonderful fruit salads. And we had these, you know, every day we just had wonderful fruit. And I loved to snorkel. And Maui, in Hawaii, all you have to do is walk out 3 feet, bend over, put your head in the water with a mask or goggles, and it's like a tropical aquarium. You see all these colorful, bright yellow fish and blue-colored fish and purple fish and green fish and orange fish. And it's just spectacular. You just have to walk out 4 feet in the water till the water's down to your waist and bend over and you see it. But snorkeling in Hawaii, I loved it. It was just like, you know, Green Acres is the place for me. Farm living is the life for me. Do. Well, Maui is the place for me. I loved it out there, I'll tell you. And you know what? The Lord finally spoke to me after 2 weeks of walking up and down the beach. Now, I know you've heard this, but I got a point in telling you this, all right? After walking up and down the beach for 2 weeks, the Lord spoke to me. He finally spoke to me. And he said, Joe, you can have your paradise here on earth, or you can have it in my kingdom. You can have your paradise here on earth, or you can have it in my kingdom. Now, I want to just stop here for a second. I had just served the Lord for 3 years, okay? 2 years on the road, 21 months traveling, okay? Okay. 3 months training. I've got to get numbers, so I'm going to let Don's leaving. But we love you. Have a great trip. Talk to you later. What time's your flight? Praise the Lord. Rebbitson's leaving on a jet plane. So, anyhow, we're getting. Are you with me? Everybody with me? Okay. Can I finish? All right. So, I forget where I was now. What was I saying? Yeah. Okay. So I worked for 3 years. I worked for 3 years. 1 year I worked in New York City as an evangelist. So I went out in the streets of New York City, in the subways, and I preached the gospel. Are you hearing me? In the streets of New York City, I went from Harlem down to Trump Tower, to Times Square, down to what do you call it? What's the Grand Central Station? All the way down to the Statue of Liberty, to Coney Island, to Brooklyn, to different places in Brooklyn, and all over New York City, and Staten Island and Queens, and we did evangelism. We led hundreds of people. One time we did a 1 month evangelistic outreach, 1 month in New York City in the summer. We had to train for a month for that. In order to do a one-month evangelistic, we had to go to Chicago, and we trained. You have no idea what I'm telling you. You guys have, you just have no clue what I'm telling you. We get up at 5:30 in the morning, and we wouldn't go to bed till 11 o'clock at night, and we worked all day long learning how to evangelize, learning how to reach Jewish people. They trained us in what Jewish people believe, what Jewish people eat, what Jewish people do, what Jewish people practice, what Jewish people think, what Jewish people, I mean, they trained us, we role-played. You have no idea what they put us through to get us trained to go out. And it, we didn't just witness to Jews, we witnessed to everybody. If you came, anybody came up and said, you know, took our tracts, we'd give them to anybody. We didn't discriminate. The first person I led to the Lord was a black woman named Osi. I'll never forget. I was there in Chicago. It was the first time I led anybody to the Lord. And I asked her if she knew who Jesus was. She didn't. I told her. I asked her if she'd like to pray and ask Jesus into her heart. She said she would. And I stood there with Osi and prayed with her to receive the Lord. I'll never forget her name. I'll never forget the moment. And I can't, I mean, I remember vaguely what she looked like. But I just remember that was the first time I led somebody to the Lord. That was hundreds and hundreds of people back, maybe thousands. I don't keep count. Okay? But the point I'm making is this. So I served the Lord for a year in New York City, preached in the subways, led hundreds to the Lord in just 1 month of evangelistic outreach. And I was doing outreach all year long. That was just July. It was just the month of July. Okay, then I went on tour. So served the Lord for 3 years. How many years did Yeshua serve the Lord with his disciples? How many years did they go out with him and to serve the Lord? Three and a half years, right? And did they go out, did they actually, do you think they trained for a while with him? Do you think they just watched him for a while before they actually did, before he sent him out? That's right. They watched, he trained him. He trained him, and then he finally, after a while, I don't know which scripture it is, but he sent him out. After they were, he thought they were ready. Amen? Okay, so what am I saying to you? God said to me, Joe, what did God say to the thief on the cross? The thief on the cross said to him, one said, you know, he was nasty. And the other guy said to him, have you no reverence for God? This man has done nothing. He's innocent. We deserve everything that we've got. We deserve what we've done. We've committed crimes. And we deserve to be crucified. This man's done nothing. He's innocent. He's completely innocent. And the thief on the cross said, Jesus, Yeshua, he said, remember me in your kingdom. Remember me in your kingdom. Amen? That's what he said to him. Remember me in your kingdom. And Yeshua said, this day you will be in paradise with me. This day you will be in paradise with me. Right? But you know what God said to me after 3 years of work? 3 years of working my hind end for the Lord, leading hundreds, maybe thousands to the Lord. I mean, I can't tell you all the things we did. Got arrested for preaching the gospel, for my First Amendment rights were violated. Got dragged out of a New York subway on my back up 50 stairs by a police officer. I said, are you believe in Jesus? He says, I'm a Catholic. I'm screaming, help, I'm being persecuted because I believe in Jesus. Help, I'm being persecuted because I believe in Jesus. And he's dragging me up the stairs. I said, officer, why are you doing this to me? If you believe in Jesus, why are you taking me out of here? And he was ashamed of himself. You know what I'm saying? But he was doing what his commanding officer told him to do. That's what he did. But the point is, here's the mystery. The thief on the cross did nothing. He committed a crime and was crucified and said, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. And he said, this day you'll be in paradise with me. But what did he say to me after 3 years of hard labor? Joe, you can have your kingdom here on earth or you can have it in my kingdom. He didn't say, Joe, you can call it quits today and I'll give you paradise. He said, Joe, you can even have it here on earth or you can finish the race. Oh, is anybody getting this? You can finish the race and have it in my kingdom. You see? You can finish the race. Elijah wanted, You know, there have been times when I've served the Lord so hard and so much where I've said, Lord, it's enough, Lord. Take me. It's enough. And Elijah said that. He had slain the prophets on Mount Carmel. The children of Israel turned away from the Lord. Elijah showed them who the true God was. He called down fire on the mountain in chapter 18. And then after he was finished, he took the prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Baal, and he took them down, and he slew 400 of them. And then Elijah, he ran, because Elijah ran because he was, it says in chapter 19, now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. See, Elijah had been serving the Lord. He had raised the widow's son. He caused drought in Israel for 3 years. Do you think the people liked him? He stopped the rains. So not only did the Democrats didn't like him, but the Republicans didn't like him. Okay? Not only did the Likud not like him, but the Labor Party didn't like him. And whatever other parties. Nobody liked Elijah. Are you hearing me? He stopped the rain. Nobody likes, and this isn't to be political, but Donald Trump may be affecting the stock market pretty bad because he's calling for tariffs on China, which seem to be, maybe, I'm not an expert, causing the stock market to go down. Okay? So people who are investing, some are saying, well, some people I talk to say, this is good for the country. We need, you know, we've been giving away things to China. They've been selling cheap, and they're not buying our stuff. They're putting tariffs on our stuff. They're charging, if we send a car, Ford, they'll charge, tack on $5,000 to the price of the Ford, whereas we're not tacking on anything to their stuff. You see what I'm saying? You can buy their stuff. You can buy their hair curlers or their hairbrushes or their toothbrushes dirt cheap at Walmart because we're not putting tariffs on. Well, Trump's saying we need to put tariffs on Chinese goods to the tune of, you know, I don't know, $400 million, $250 million, whatever. He wants to equalize, balance the playing field. And then the guy, you'd think, you know, God bless, I'm just, again, this is not a political message. I'm just telling you what Trump's doing with tariffs. The point is, then, and he doesn't even give himself a rest with China, and he starts messing with Mexico and saying, we're going to put tariffs on Mexico. Imagine what his wife, what it's like sitting there at Trump's dinner table, and his wife's like, honey, can you just do one country at a time? Can you just do China? Can we worry about Mexico next week? I mean, it must drive the woman crazy. You know, he's slapping tariffs. It's just stirring up the whole economy in the world, and the economy's going crazy, and the world's going crazy, and the Iranians are attacking our shipping, oil shipping, our oil suppliers. They're threatening to attack us. We're sending ships into the nutcase over there in North Korea, shooting off rockets again. We're sending ships over there. I mean, this guy is president. He's juggling. He's got about seven balls in his hand, little balls. You know, his little balls that are juggling. He's got all these balls. He's juggling all these problems in the world. Amen? Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with him or not, that's what he's doing. That's not even considering the fact that he's got all this other stuff going on where the people want to impeach him, and they're accusing him of obstruction of justice and all these things, and he's got all this stuff on his plate. That would make me want to say, it's enough. That would be enough for me. What he's gone through in the last week, just watching the President of the United States, all the stuff that he's dealing with, I would cause me to say, it's enough. I'm done. take me home. After 2 years of all this baloney that he's been going through, whether you like him or not, whether you think he caused it or not, if as many people hated you as hate him, okay, if as many people hated you and were said as nasty things as they say about him, you know, he might say, he hasn't said it. He's a tough guy, but not Elijah. This is what Elijah said when, after he had, you know, he had brought a famine in Israel. He stopped the rain. He helped the widow. He'd done, you know, he raised the dead. And he's fleeing from Jezebel. Jezebel in chapter 19, she wants to kill him. And Elijah was afraid, it says in verse 3 of chapter 19. And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which is way far away from Jezebel up in the north, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the desert, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested himself that he might die. And he said, "It's enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I'm not better than my father's." How many of you have ever asked the Lord, "Lord, I've served you so hard. I'm going to ask you a question." How many of you have ever served the Lord so hard and you were so exhausted from serving the Lord, not from sickness, not from age, but you were so, not from pain, but from serving the Lord, that you said to the Lord, "It's enough, Lord. Take my life." If you've ever served the Lord so long and hard to the point where you just wanted to die, raise your hand. If you served him so hard, if you could stand up right now and say, "Lord, I've served you so faithfully. I'm like Elijah, and I'm ready to go home, Lord. I know I'm done." Have you? Has anybody say that? Raise your hand if you would. Has anybody ever done it? Raise your hand if you, because of serving the Lord, not because you felt sick, not because you were stressed out, but because you'd serve the Lord so much, you were just like, "It's enough, Lord." It's not a good advertisement for serving the Lord, there, is it? It isn't exactly a great ad. You know, he's saying, "Take me home." Let's see what the Lord does. So it says in verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey. And in verse 5, he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank. By the way, it's about 300 miles trek, maybe 350, 300, 350 miles from Mount Carmel, where he slew the prophets of Baal, all the way down to Mount Sinai. It's about 300 to 350 miles through a lot of desert, through a lot of hot, 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 hot desert. Okay? And so this is what he said. He slept under a juniper tree, and there, behold, an angel touching him said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him, said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." He knew it was 300 miles. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah wasn't slow. He outran a chariot. Remember that? He was able to outrun Ahab's chariot. He was fast. I'm sure he walked pretty fast too. And it took him 40 days and 40 nights to get to the mountain on 2 days of food and 2 days of sleep. Straight through, 40 days and 40 nights. Straight through. He was a strong guy. Amen? So, let's see. Elijah's running away. He's running away from Jezebel, just like Peter ran away from that young girl. Elijah's running away. And what's God doing? Helping him. God's helping him. And where is he going? To Mount Sinai. Why Mount Sinai? Why Mount Sinai? Isn't that where it all began? Isn't that where the rebellion started? At Mount Sinai, where they built the golden calf? Isn't Mount Sinai where they gave the law? Isn't that where God said to the people, he said to the people, "Here's my covenant with you. I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. if you do all that I command you today, and the people said to him, Ehiyeh asher ehiyeh, all that the Lord says we will do. All that the Lord says we will do. That's what they said to him. And they didn't do it. They failed. But God's requirement was that we do everything. In other words, what is God's requirement of righteousness, of perfection, to go to heaven, to go to paradise? Perfection. Keep all of his commandments, all of his laws. Amen? That's what his standard is, perfection. Can any of us meet that standard? Any of us? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? All. Amen? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, how do we get to heaven? Through the merits of Yeshua the Lamb, through the merits of Jesus Christ. That's how we get to paradise. Not by our own righteousness, not by our own works. But yet, there's something interesting here. To me, he said, after 3 years of hard service, Joe, you can have your paradise here on earth, or you can have it in my kingdom. Or, to the thief on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. What's he require of us? Does he require 3 years of hard service? What's he requiring of you? I'm going to tell you something. What he requires of you and me are two different things. What he requires of your neighbor are two different things. What he requires of your husband and your is different from what he requires of your wife. What he requires of your children may be different from what he requires of you to go to paradise. So I'm not talking about salvation here, but don't you find that interesting? That he said to me, after 3 years of hard service, Joe, you can have your paradise here on earth, or if you finish the job, let's go on. Let's see, finish the job. What did Elijah say? What happened on Mount Horeb? He gets there, in verse 9, then he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He knew he was going there. He fed him. He says, what are you doing here? Does God ever ask a question he doesn't know the answer to? No. But he wants to see what we think, what we have to say. He wants to know what's in our heart. So God says to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? Hey, Elijah, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Have you ever been to Mount Sinai? I don't think there's more desolate, more hot, more barren, more unpopulated, more lonely, more deadly place to be on earth than Mount Sinai. I mean, it's like hell on earth. Why would you want to go there? But he went there because Moses went there. And Moses received the law. And you know, Pentecost is coming, Shavuot, and we're going to have a service on June 9th. We're going to celebrate Shavuot, which is the Hebrew word for Pentecost. And it was on Pentecost in the third month on the Hebrew calendar in Exodus 19, that Moses received the Torah, the law, on tablets of stone. And it was 3,000 died that day because they built a golden calf, and they perished. 3,000 died because they broke the law. And they were under the old covenant. But in the new covenant, in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 received life. 3,000 were saved. Amen? That's the comparison. On the same day, same holiday, just under the new covenant, because the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Scripture says, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And somebody watch Miss Aja there in case she needs help. Okay. So Elijah's up there, and God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts. The sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle.
He wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and he stood in front of the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know why he wrapped his face? Actually covered his eyes. You know why he did that? Because he knew God was out there. And the Bible said if you saw God face to face, you would die. Under the old covenant, if you saw God face to face, the penalty, you would die. So he covered himself because he didn't want to die. So he really didn't want to die. Even though on his way down, he was finished. He said, "I'm ready to die now, Lord. Take me." When he got down there and it came the opportunity to see God face to face, he covered himself. Covered his eyes, covered his head, so he wouldn't see God. He really didn't want to die. Okay? All right. So then, this is wild. And then he hears God in the small, gentle blowing. And when Elijah heard it, verse 13, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." The Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness." He didn't do nothing. He didn't say, "Elijah, are your hamstrings tight? It's been a long hike. Elijah, how are your calves feeling? Would you like a foot massage? Can I send you an angel to give you a foot massage? You've been walking 40 days and 40 nights. Would you like something to eat?" No, this is what God says. None of that stuff, no baloney. God says, this is the way God is. God just kind of skips over with us. We get all emotional and fluffy, and God just goes right through it and cuts to the chase. He doesn't waste his words. He doesn't tell jokes about pirates. All right, verse 15. The Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat over Abel Meholah you shall anoint as prophet in your place." Quick question. Okay, so Hazael, he was to anoint him as king over Aram, which is Syria. Jehu the son to be king over Israel, and number three, he was to anoint Elisha as to be prophet in his place. How many of those people, the three, did Elijah himself actually anoint? Right? If you know the answer, raise your hand or to tell me. How many of those three people did Elijah himself actually really lay anoint? Say it loud if anybody knows. Just Elisha. He didn't anoint Hazael. He didn't anoint Jehu. Just Elisha. Wait a second. Didn't God tell him to do the three? But he didn't do it. That's weird. Well, something happened. Well, he anointed Elisha. It says here in verse 19 of chapter 19. "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him. And with the 12th, Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him." On top of him. Amen. Threw his mantle on top of him. Here, Isaac, come on up here. Let me do this. This looks more effective if I do it. He went up to Elisha and he just didn't face me. And he threw his mantle right on top of him. And the boy knew exactly what that meant. He knew what that meant. He knew that he was going to follow in his master's footsteps. He was going to be a student, a disciple. Amen? And thank you. Good job. Okay. So, let's go on. So let's turn to chapter 20. There's other stuff that goes on with Ahab and wars with Aram, and Ahab is victorious. And let's go on to chapter 21.
In verse 17, Ahab covets Naboth's vineyard. There's a guy with a beautiful vineyard who lives next to Ahab and Jezebel. He's got a beautiful vineyard. He lives next to the king. I suppose if you live next to the king, you'd probably be a rich guy, right? Anyone that lives next to the king's probably got some cash, right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Poor people don't live next door to the king, do they? Unless they work for the king. Unless they're living in houses. You know, I went to Thomas Jefferson's house. I saw where the slaves lived. They had little shacks for the slaves. Thomas Jefferson's house was a palace. But I noticed probably the same thing at Mount Vernon, too. They had little shacks for the slaves. But the master lived in a palace. Apart from servants and slaves, only rich people live next to the king. Amen? Amen. All right, so the king's got this rich guy with a beautiful vineyard next to him, and he wants it. So his wife says, "Hey, I'm not going to deny you. Let me take care of it." So she finds two dirt bags. The Bible calls them worthless men. She finds two guys with no morals, no scruples. Everybody say no scruples. No scruples, no morals. And they go to court and they falsely accuse Naboth of a crime, and the sentence is death. So they killed Naboth, and the king took his vineyard, or the queen. She stole his property and gave it to her husband. God saw it, and God was so angry at Ahab. God was so angry at Ahab for doing that for Naboth. And they accused Naboth of cursing God, and they stoned him to death. This is what God said. He sent Elijah in 1 Kings 21:17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?' And you shall speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, even yours.' Ahab said to Elijah, 'Have you found me, O my enemy?' And he answered, 'I have found you, because you have sold yourself to evil, to do evil in the sight of the Lord.'" Verse 21, "Behold, I will bring evil upon you and will utterly sweep you away and will cut you off from Ahab, every male, with bond and free, both bond and free in Israel. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and because you have made Israel sin. Of Jezebel, he also said, speaking, 'The dogs will eat Jezebel in the district of Jezreel.'" But then Ahab repented, and the Lord said to him, it says in verse 27, "It came about that Ahab heard these words, and he tore his clothes, and he put sackcloth and fasted, and he lay in sackcloth and went about despondently. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but I will bring evil upon his house in his son's days.'" Because he repented of all that sin, God said, "I'm not going to bring evil in his days, but in his son's days." That's what he said to him. Okay. So he repented. And we see Elijah. And then we don't see Elijah again till we don't see him again till 2 Kings 2. So, and you hear nothing about Elisha. Remember the student? He's walking around. He's seeing all this stuff. He's walking around with the master, right? But he's not doing anything. But then in 2 Kings 2, he asks him for a double portion of his spirit when he dies. As the Lord answered the prayer, he said, "Lord, it's enough. Take me." The Lord took him. He took him. It's unusual that anybody gets to see. Some nurses have told me they've seen angels come in the room. Nurses have told me they've seen angels in the room when somebody's dying. Elisha saw the chariots of fire
and the horses of fire come and get Elijah and bring him up to heaven. Now, but his mantle fell. His prayer shawl fell down. If you look on the cover of our newsletter, there's a great picture of it. It's a beautiful picture of the chariot of fire on there. We have a brand new newsletter, so I mean, thank you to those of you who helped Sharon and Carolyn and anyone else that may have helped pick Aja. So we did it in color so people could see. If you want to get our newsletter, just go to www.forzionsake.org. You can sign up for, it's a teaching newsletter, Elijah's Mantle, Getting Equipped for the Last Days. This is about Elijah's Mantle. You can get it at www.forzionsake.org. And you can sign up for it. But anyway, so Elijah, we don't see much of Elisha until he gets the mantle. And when he gets the mantle, he gets the master's mantle. It falls down from heaven, right? Elijah says to him, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be as you say. I'll give you a double portion. And then he says he folds it up. He folds up the mantle. And he strikes the Jordan River. Yeah. Now, I know Jews would say this is disrespectful, and I mean no disrespect. Jewish people that are watching, Jews would never hold a prayer shawl like this. But Jews also wouldn't strike a river with a prayer shawl either. And that's what Elijah did. So how are you going to strike it? Are you going to go? In fact, Jews would never touch the floor with a prayer shawl. Right. Religious Jewish people. Just letting you know that. It's a very sacred garment. But I'm trying to demonstrate a point. He smote the waters and parted the Jordan River with his prayer shawl. And when the sons of the prophets on the other side saw him, instead of making fun of him, they said, Elisha is now the prophet. Elijah's gone, but Elisha is now the prophet in his place. Amen? Amen. All right. So, let's bring it home. Elijah's prayer was answered. He did have to go back and he had to do one more thing. He just had one more job, really. I mean, he did confront the king, told the king about his sin. He went back and spent a year or two, basically a couple of years, training Elisha. Amen? His job was to go back and train his replacement. Capiche? If you're a foreman, hey Bill, you worked in a factory. If you're a foreman or you have a skill and you're leaving the job in a company like where you worked for, would they have to, if somebody had a real skill, would they have to train somebody to replace that person? Yeah? Same with you, Carol. You worked at a big company. If somebody had a skilled job, did they have to train somebody new? If they were conscientious. They were supposed to. Same with you. How about you, Diane? And you work for a big company. Somebody's going to take over a job. Terry, same thing with you. Somebody's going to take over a position or learn something, do something that was complicated. They'd have to train, right? Amen. Okay. Hey, Deborah, if somebody's going to become a masseuse, they have to train? Amen. Take a long time, wouldn't it? That's right. So Elijah had one job left. That was to train Elisha. That was the last thing that God required of him. And once he was trained, he got to go home. Once he was trained, he got to go home to paradise. But when you see, God wouldn't let Elijah go to paradise either until he was done. But he let the thief on the cross go on that very same day without, all he did was commit crimes and get crucified, which he deserved, and he even said it. He was a thief on the cross who recognized that Yeshua, that Jesus was Lord, believed in him, said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. The Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's all he required of him. So my question to you folks, I served the Lord with zeal for
plus years. Led hundreds to the Lord. Traveled the world. Went from Harlem to Coney Island. I don't know if you know how far that is and how many people that is. I ministered to Russians in near Coney Island in Brighton Beach. We would walk on the beaches and at night, and we'd say, Jesus lubit vas, predicikimu sichas. Jesus lubit vas, predicikimu sichas. And we'd sing songs that was saying, Jesus loves you, come to him now. We didn't know Russian. We were taught one line. Jesus loves you, come to him now. And we'd be a crowd of 30 of us, 40 of us, whatever. And there's thousands of Russians watching us. And then we're singing songs, and the Russians who were with us were talking to them and telling them about Jesus and leading them to the Lord, some of them. Amen? And that's what we did. We led people to the Lord. My job for 3 years was to lead people to the Lord, whether it was using music, talking, teaching, using books, preaching, whatever it took to bring Yeshua to those people for 3+ years. Amen? From 1996, October, to the summer of 1999. 3 years. June. Just short of 3 years. God wouldn't let me go to paradise on earth. He wouldn't even let me go to paradise in heaven. God said, you can have your paradise on earth, or you can have it in heaven, in my kingdom. What's your choice? Well, I guess I'd rather have it on your kingdom, Lord. Well, he didn't say, okay, stay in Maui, Joe. He said, finish your calling. Go back and anoint Hazael king over Syria, over Aram. Go back and anoint Jehu king over Israel. Go back and anoint Elisha prophet in your place, Joe. Are you hearing me? What's God requiring of you? And are you meeting his requirement? What does the Lord require? There's a scripture somewhere, maybe it's Hosea 6, where it says, how shall I come before the Lord? But doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with the Lord your God. Shall I offer rams or thousands of lambs? Shall I offer my firstborn son? He has shown you, O man, what is good, but doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly before the Lord your God. And if there's anything else, you know in your heart, I'm not here to tell you, I'm just here to challenge you. Could you stand up and say, here's the test, the litmus test. Could you stand up and say, Lord, it's enough. I've done enough for you. I've served you enough. I'm ready to go home like Elijah. Could anybody in this room from serving the Lord say, it's been enough, Lord. I've done enough service to you. Take me home. Then if you haven't fulfilled whatever it is that God's requiring of you, because he made me come back here and give up paradise on earth after 3 years of hard service, and I wasn't even done. Somebody offered me a messianic ministry in Maui. God said, no, come here. That was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. I've been here for 20 years. 20 years. My pastor said to me, you met my pastor Ed, and we need to pray for him. He had a stroke last week. Ed Bowers had a stroke, and he's not doing well. That's his third stroke, and he's had a heart attack. We need to pray for Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed said to me a couple weeks ago, he said, Joe, I admire you. He said, I could never have done what you've done. I could never have done it as long, been stabbed in the back as many times as you've been stabbed in the back, been rejected, the hardships you've gone through, the troubles, the sorrows, the abandonment. I could never go through the things you've gone through. I've watched you all these years, he said. He said, you've had it much harder than me. I wouldn't have stuck it out. That's what he told me. He said, I wouldn't have stuck it out. And I look to him and say, that's a man of integrity. Ed Bowers is a man of God. He's so full of integrity. He's such a prayer warrior. He's so pure-hearted. He's so innocent. He's so sweet. Whether he knows about messianic stuff, he's got a pure heart. He loves the Lord. Amen? And so does his wife, Kathy. Lord, we just pray for Ed Bowers. We pray for your mercy and your healing for his life, that you heal him. He's got a vein blocked in his neck that's 75% blocked, that you help the doctors clear that out. We pray, Lord, that you extend his life, that you heal him, and whether he goes back on the mission field or not, Lord, that you would just give him, let him have health and strength in the last years of his life, Lord. As he enters this final chapter of his life, he and Kathy, the golden years as they call them, Lord, let them be golden, we pray. Bind the enemy and heal my pastor, heal my friend, heal my mentor, Ed Bowers, and lift his wife's arms up, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. I'm going to open the altar, and Carol, if you'd like to get a song like Breathe On Me ready, if you'd like to come to the altar, if you couldn't say to the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to go to paradise with you. If you don't know why, but if you're not sure whether you'd go to paradise today, because you may not have finished your assignment, maybe you turned the Lord down when he called you. I'm not judging you. But if you have business to do with the Lord and you want to come forward and do that business, he's a God of forgiveness, a God of mercy, a God of grace. If you've blown it, I invite you to come to the altar and ask the Lord to make it right and help you finish the journey. The Bible says, run the race with endurance, looking to Yeshua, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I think it's Hebrews 12, isn't it? Or is it Romans 12? One of those two. Huh? Hebrews 12. Run the race with endurance, looking to Yeshua, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you haven't finished your race, you got to finish it. That's what he's shown me here. And each one of us has a different race. But if you need help finishing yours to get to that paradise mark, the thief had a very short race, but to whom much is given, much is required. He required a lot from me. To whom much is given, much is required. Paul, he required much of Paul. What's he requiring? Elijah had much required of him. What's he requiring of you? Come to the altar if you'd like. It's open for you. And at home, you can do the same. You don't have to come to the altar. You can just bow down where you are and say to the Lord, Lord, I know I'm not finished with my race, and I'm not sure if I'm worthy of paradise. Help me. Show me, Lord. Show me the way. Like you showed Elijah. Like you showed Jobel. Show me what to do. He will. He's faithful. Okay. All right. Let's stand up. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. And we're going to ask you to please stay. We're going to have a brief finance meeting afterward, very brief. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is how you shall put my message upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yahir Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panaveilecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace, Shabbat shalom, and God bless you. And may you find your ticket to paradise through Yeshua. Hallelujah. Now we're going to turn these off. God bless you, folks. I'm